Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
The Asian Avengers, so weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, welcome everybody to the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American things no Americans care about. I'm your host, Mike Nguyen, and I am alone today because Fumi is doing things with his life, aka he is on a business trip and doing that. So good luck to him, and it's just going to be me alone for today, but I've got a special guest. More on him in a second. For right now, though, if you are listening to this podcast on your phone, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram, and tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod. We loved that, and we usually will re-up your story. If you are also on your podcast app, please leave us a review, hit 5 stars and leave us a review. You can leave us a bad review. Leave us a bad review, but also 5 stars. I would love that. I would love hate crime, 5 stars. You know, I think that would be amazing. Just like, these stupid fucking Asian dorks. 5 stars. Perfect. Don't care. Don't give a shit. Tell me that my people eat weird food. I don't give a shit. Leave me 5 stars. On top of that, one other thing. Today is December 5th. So it is Christmas season. If you are looking for a gift, check out our merch. We've got some cute merch, super cute merch. Hoodies and t-shirts and mugs and shit like that. And you can find that on asiannotasianpod.com/merch, or you can find it on our Instagram in our bio. And it's a good time. And I think that's everything. One more thing is if you love what you hear, which you probably haven't yet because this has just started, but if you eventually love what you hear, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/asiannotasianpod, or just search that. And if you subscribe to our Patreon and you subscribe a certain amount of money, you get things like a shout out or race news. We do that where we talk about different things happening, and it's a good time. So I think that's going to be it for announcements. I'm ready to get into this. And since I can actually talk entirely by myself. Okay, I don't need you, Fumi. Okay, I'm happy to talk to myself. I think all comedians talk to themselves. I talk to myself constantly, all the time, in the shower. You can do it, Mike. People like you. You know, you're not losing your six pack. You know, I talk about that all the time. All to myself. It doesn't matter. That's what stand-up comics do. But I think you guys would get bored. I don't get bored because I don't have a choice. But you guys might get bored. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up our comic. I'm really excited to have him because when Fumi's away, or I'm away, we'll try to find someone who is someone we just like. You know, we'll have Kenise on, Kenise Mobley, she's great. We'll have on Brian Park, he's great. But I wanted to give a young buck a chance. And it's weird to call him young buck because it's not like he's like much younger in the comedy sense. He's much younger in the life sense, but he's not much younger in the comedy sense because he's been grinding away too. He's a young comic. He's living in New York City. He's living the dream. His credits include, he was on the Today Show. He had a really cool Instagram show with Young Mi Meyer, and they were on the Today Show. It was awesome. And he's also Viet. That's a credit, apparently. So so we're going to have a real deep talk with him. This is no longer Asian not Asian. This is Viet not Viet. Okay? What the hell? Okay? What the hell? Okay, we're going to call it. It's going to get so Vietnamese up in here. All right, and this guest here, his biggest credit, honestly, is probably doing this podcast. All right, that's a huge credit for a young comic. He's laughing so much. All right, give it up right now for Entree Tran.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Dude, two on Mike. What's up?
I'm so excited to have you. Yeah. I'm excited and I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. So this is the Vietnamese takeover episode. The Viet takeover.
This is where our tanks roll into yes. Saigon. Yeah. And hell just yeah. Yeah, we just take over.
Dude, yeah.
New regime, baby.
Yeah. we're usually the invadee. We're not like the invaders. You know what I'm talking
about? Hey man. Hey, have you guys invaded Vietnam lately? Huh? You guys should come check out Vietnam. Come invade us. You know, we China did and the Mongols and Japan and hey, everybody's invading us. I'm so excited to have you on. I'm wearing
happy to be here.
Vietnamese camo in order for the occasion. This is tiger stripe, huh?
Nice.
Special forces. So
awesome.
You know, I mean, I'm excited to have you on. And for our guests who don't know, you know, just give us a quick rundown, man. Where are you from and all that stuff?
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm from, I tell people I'm from the Midwest, but I was really born in North Carolina. But I grew up mostly in the Midwest. So outside Chicago, where my parents still live now. So I went to school there, hung out, college out in the Midwest. And then,
yeah,
I've been doing comedy. You know, I started in college and then it just kind of, you know, I feel like a lot of people have a similar story. Somebody in your friend group was like, dude, you talk way too much shit. Like, just like use that for something. Okay. Then I just started doing it and then slowly. And then when I first moved to New York a couple of years ago, I was really into work and then like I was dating a girl at the time. And so I was really focused on that. So I kind of stopped, but then I really started like getting more like serious and picking them back up about like 3 years ago. So pretty seriously.
What is it? So you're like a Midwestern Viet then, huh?
Yeah, Midwestern. I think, yeah, definitely. Well, in Chicago, there's actually a fair amount of Vietnamese people.
Right.
I was in the suburbs, and so there's actually a lot of Filipino people in the suburbs of Chicago.
That's perfect. You look Filipino. Yeah. So
that's what everybody says. Like Filipino people will ask me, "Are you Filipino?" Before they even say hi, they'll just like, you know, like "You're Filipino, right?" And then I feel like my answer. It's like I say no and they get so disappointed.
They get so mad. Like, oh, clearly he's Mexican. Okay, got it. You know, like I love that you're from the Midwest cuz you're a true complete replacement of Fumi. Okay? We no longer need him. We're taking it's like this is our Dien Bien Phu, okay?
Right.
We're kicking him out, the colonist out, and we're taking over Vietnamese on Vietnamese. It's great. It's great.
Yes. I'm gonna try to recreate a Fumi's laugh. I know. It's infectious. Yeah, when you listen to bodies.
So you moved here in New York, and then you weren't. You didn't move here necessarily for comedy.
No,
you were kind of. You were just like, this is gonna be the spot. I'm gonna come in here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make my money. We're doing whatever.
Right. So I moved here. So actually, Fumi's from Ohio. It's funny because. Moved after college. I got a job in Ohio. And then like being there, it was just so bland and boring. I was just like, I got to get out. And so I thought I really should have wanted to move back to Chicago because that's all my friends were. But then I visited New York once and, you know, it was just amazing, magical. And like, I always had comedy in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, that's cool. But I really moved there for the job that I had at the time. But then I found out I hated that job. And so I no longer worked there.
Shit. Well, So, you know, I mean, you know, how long you been in New York doing comedy then?
So I've been in New York about almost 6 years now. Holy cow.
Have
almost
you?
6 years. Yeah, 6 years. And then doing comedy in New York about 3-ish years.
That feels like, because I feel I started seeing you around 2.5-ish
years ago
for me.
Right. So the first 6 months I was probably, because... The thing is, the New York comedy culture is way different because I'm used to like the Midwest comedy, like suburbs of Chicago comedy scene where you get up, you go out maybe like twice a week is good. Whereas like in New York, if you get up twice a week, you're a failure.
Yeah, you're a failure.
Like quit.
Yeah. Just quit.
So if you get twice up a day, you're a failure, right?
Yeah, exactly. How are you liking it so far, man? Are you, you know, is this, you know, like, is this... what you thought it was going to be like? And then I have another follow-up question about that. Yeah.
It definitely has changed, especially with everything that's happened this year. I think, you know, before, definitely when I was starting out, I just had all these, you know, big grandiose dreams. I was like, dude, I'm gonna get a TV. I'm gonna be a supporting actor on a sitcom and stuff like that. And then,
always
you're young.
Supporting actor, not even the main actor. Oh, no.
I was like,
I would love to be an extra. Yeah, exactly. Man, I'd love to be a best friend, you know? Yeah.
So it was always like, I had all these goals in mind, but then, you know, it's just, you know, the more and more you get into it, and the more and more you realize how tough some of those things are, it kind of gets, it feels very insurmountable. And then for me, at least, my process is because I know some people, they want to write really big goals, and then they want to, it helps them visualize it, manifest it, achieve it. For me, if I have those really big goals, I'm kind of the opposite. I'm like, oh my God, that's so hard. I'm going to give up.
Yeah. So I'm the same way, bro.
It's very discouraging. So me now, I just really focus on, you know, what I really like about comedy. And that's just kind of like writing a new joke, doing well in front of a crowd. Like, so it's the small things. And that's like really what I focus on. That's has made it so much more easier and so much more fun. It's just more enjoying the process and like having fun doing comedy, writing comedy. And that's,
I'm the same way. And people who listen to the show kind of know about, I'm going to write a book one day, I guess, just about like lowering your expectations. That's really what this is. 100%. And I sometimes wonder if I'm sometimes wondering if this is like a Vietnamese thing, because I think Vietnamese people we're just like, just get through the day, you know, we're just like, just get through like the year. Let's just get, you know, like we're not necessarily like, I, you know, if you can kind of encapsulate Korean people as like having Han, you know, just like, I'm so full of rage that I'm going to work so hard and conquer my enemies. Yeah. Vietnamese people are just like, listen, we've been conquered like so many times that honestly, if I just make it to Saturday, that would be fucking sweet, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you feel like that's like the case sometimes with us?
I do. Yes. Cause I see it in my parents too, because they used to be really, really like, yo, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And then now they're like, are you just happy? That's all we care about.
Right.
So it's.
What happened?
I feel like Vietnamese people are, you know, because so much has happened to our country, so much this, it's good to be chill now, right? Because you're always on edge. You're like, before my parents were probably like, dude, when are we going to get our next meal?
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna get, and now it's just nice for them to be chill, and then they're very content and happy. But then, you know, I also have the other side too, when people are still, like my aunt, she's like the most crazy ambitious person. Like,
super I've ambitious.
Ever, yes, like crazy ambitious.
And right, there's always one that's going to ruin it for the rest of us. You know, that sucks. I feel now you and I, we can talk about Dat Fan, right? Because
yes, oh my God, know, I have some story.
I have some interesting. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. People who don't know, Dat Fan was the first winner of Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
He, and this was like, man, a long time ago. I mean, I was in college. So like, you know, it was like 2004 or 3 or something like that.
Right.
And I remember watching and seeing him and going, oh my God, a Vietnamese guy. And, you know, he won the show, and then sort of notoriously the comedy world like shit in his mouth and like just turned their back on him. There's this crazy thing. If you look it up, there's Dat Fan goes on this show called Tough Crowd.
Oh.
And it was, there's all these legendary comics on there. Patrice O'Neill was on there. And there's this like legendary scene, I don't know, legendary, infamous scene of Patrice O'Neill just shitting on Dat Fan, like right in front of him. Just like, just destroying his career right in front of everyone. And it's been tricky, but, I don't know. Like, I don't even know where we want to start. Like, what are your sort of, you know?
Yes.
We can talk about it.
Yeah. Right. So I remember watching Last Comic Standing too. I think Jay Moore was the host of that season.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jay Moore. Yeah. So I remember the one episode that was like the most clear to me was the first, because I used to do, if people aren't familiar, to get eliminated, you would have to go up against another comic.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So that was the format of the show, and it was kind of like a survival show. If you Last Comic Standing, obviously. So I remember him. They would show the pre one. He was going up against another guy, and he was just practicing his accent. And do you remember that? So he was just like, "We're gonna win this," and practicing his accent in third person.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's comedy's totally different now, and like that type of stuff. It's right now. It's not in as in favor as it was back then, but yeah, I just remember that, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy, like this is a Vietnamese guy. And then fast forward, like,
yeah,
15 years later, a good friend of mine, Daffan actually runs a Zoom show now. He runs
We didn't get on the Zoom show.
It gets better. It's kind of like a quasi Zoom bringer show.
Oh no.
So yeah, one of my friends was on it, and so he was like, hey, like, can you be my bringer? Jordan Leung, he's a really funny HK Hong Kong comic. And so I was there, and then like I joined the call because I joined like halfway, and then Daffan, he's kind of going through the rules and stuff, like everything. And he's just like, yo, who's this guy? Like, and he just starts ripping into me and just like ripping on me. Just relentless. He's like, oh, how do you say your name? Because for people who don't know, like, my name is Vietnamese, but it's kind of Americanized in the sense that it's like,
yeah,
I combine it into one. It's supposed to be two. And yeah, so he was just like, he didn't know it was Vietnamese. So he's like, what kind of name is, like, it was funny. Yeah. And so he kept asking me and just bugging me. So yeah, he's still around. He's still doing comedy and stuff.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, we should do that Zoom show. I can be your bringer guest.
We need to get that guy on the pod, I feel.
Yes.
You know, now that we've taken over and now it's Viet, not Viet. I mean, there's only like
five.
Two famous Vietnamese people or something. There's Dat Phan and there's Ho Chi Minh. That's it. There's only two guys.
Do you know what's funny? The like the people who are like half Vietnamese or something, they never talk about being half Vietnamese.
Oh shit.
Yeah, like Tyga. Tyga's half Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so even when it was popular and cool to be Asian, like after Crazy Rich Asians for like that 9 months, he didn't even come out and say, yes. So if that wasn't, that was like now or never. So he's not.
Now it's everybody just get back into the hole in the ground. Everybody. That's what Vietnamese people do. How was he funny? Was Dat Phan funny? Cause he's been in the game forever.
He has been. And to me, he was just doing a lot of, he was kind of running the show. So he was doing more administrative. He was more hosting and doing administrative, which is what you're supposed to do as a host.
Right.
And he was mainly just ushering the show, telling people how it's going on, you know, doing a little crowd work in between every single comic and then bringing up comics. So
I feel for him because I feel he was ahead of his time.
Right.
I feel the accent thing. You know, a lot of people get on that shit about the accent thing.
Yeah.
And like, it's very divisive. Like, right, you know, we had Nigel Ang on, you know, Uncle Roger. And,
yes, the king,
you know, he's got, I saw a post the other day of his, and he's like, oh, we're trying to get to 3 million subscribers on YouTube. And I'm just like, that is a mind-boggling amount of followers for a comedian. You know, especially like he's a real comic. He's not just like a YouTube guy. He's like a comic. And, you know, he's got a lot of jokes. He's got a lot of things. But like, you know, a lot of people give him flack for the accent.
Yeah.
People call him out for it and stuff like that. But I feel like, you know, we've talked about it. If it's really good and if it really kind of hits on something, which I think Nigel does, then I don't want to even say you can get away with it because I think that is part of the character. And I feel for that. It was like he had this thing and people were like, I think he kind of leaned on it too much early on. Like that was his main thing. Cause he could do it. Which I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I feel like maybe that was maybe a misstep, but at the same time, like I feel if you had the world is ready for an amazing Vietnamese accent that, you know, I feel there needs to be a Vietnamese Uncle Roger, you know, whatever you want to call him. Uncle Ho, I guess that's what the communists call Uncle Ho Chi Minh. But like, if you know, if there was a Vietnamese amazing accent, then you could like take the world by storm because it could be very funny. Right now, the only person who could do a Vietnamese accent really well is that one other comedian. What's her name? Yeah, now I'm gonna look it up.
She's not even Vietnamese, right? I know
no,
this
she's
one.
Not.
Yeah, I know Angela something. Yeah. Right, because she does the nail salon thing. She
Angela
does
Johnson.
Yeah, she does the honey thing. Yeah, that was
She does a great one. And honestly, we need to take the throne back from her because she's not Vietnamese. Maybe she's half, and she doesn't want to admit it. That's sort of the thing. But our first segment, speaking of Vietnamese accents, is Andre, your Vietnamese is solid, right? Would you say it's pretty good?
I would say it's better than most other Vietnamese Americans in our generation, like that I meet.
How did you like maintain it? Because you grew up in like, you know,
yeah,
you said there weren't that many Vietnamese people.
No, so it was just a lot of fan, which is funny too, because I only mainly use it with my family and mm-hmm. people that are older, elder, because kids our age, my cousins, my brothers, my sister, we'd all speak in English, right? So I'm not used to talking to like somebody younger than me and stuff. So that actually, I'll talk more about that later. But so it's just I've learned through, and I used to go to Vietnamese school when I was a kid.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, at the temple. So at the Chùa.
Yeah.
Vietnamese school at the Chùa, which is temple in a Buddhist monastery in English. Sorry, in Vietnamese. So I've been going back to Vietnam more recently in the past couple of years because my aunt. Yeah, so my aunt got married last year around this time. Mm-hmm. So I went back there. And then 2 years before that, so 3 years ago, I also went back in 2016. So yeah, I come back and every single time I come back, I really like hang out with all the kids my age and all my friends, my cousins there. And then I just really, really immersive into Vietnamese. And that's how I kept it up. But I think the main reason I'm really good is because every single time I go back to Vietnam, I always end up meeting a girl and like developing a crush on her.
No.
And so we're like pen pals.
Oh God.
And then that's how I really pick up Vietnamese. That's the secret. You're looking for like some secret. Like
that's so funny, dude. I feel like, you know how they have Rosetta Stone or they have like Duolingo or whatever. No, if they need to combine language learning with like Tinder, crush. You know, or like, you know, like, hey, if you could speak Spanish real good, you get a nude.
Exactly. Know? Dude, that's right? Exactly my mentality. I was like,
you would definitely like learn the language really well then. You know, yeah. I could probably speak fucking Turkish or some shit if every time I nailed the phrase, you know, I got like, you know, like a side boob, you know, I'm like, I'm there.
Exactly. This is that's the true motivation is horniness. If you could direct horniness into that.
Yes.
Because I listen and hear enough, because you probably have this too. Like sometimes you can,
yes.
you could hear Vietnamese and understand it better than you can articulate.
Oh,
yourself.
Way better. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So like a lot of times, like I'll go on Google Translate, and then Google Translate might not necessarily be a one-to-one translation or the best.
Right.
And then, so like, you kind of listen and then you interpret and change it how, so that's kind of, I would do that. And I found some actually better dictionaries too. That online, and so I had these books, and I would ask my parents, and I would ask my other friends too. But a lot of it is just translating Drake lyrics into Google Translate, and then that's what I would send the girl. Yeah,
girl, started from the bottom. Now we're here, and she's just like, "Wow, you're a poet. You're a poet. How do you do it?"
Yeah, she's like, "Oh my God, you're the way of words.
So deep, bro. Also, I didn't know you're from Canada. What? That's so crazy." okay, so I guess this first segment we're gonna teach Mike some slang or phrases,
yes.
some Vietnamese slang phrases. For people who don't know, I mean, I think people know. My Vietnamese is essentially zero. I essentially cannot speak Vietnamese. I mean, to your point, like I sometimes can understand like very casual conversation. I can. Here's the thing. I can always tell if someone's talking shit about me. I can always tell. I guess I know. I mean, I know you're talking shit. You know. I don't know what exactly you're saying, but you're talking shit. So I can usually understand that. I can't really like order in Vietnamese. Like I know what the foods are, but everybody can do that. But I'm essentially zero. I'm essentially like, my Spanish is mucho bueno compared to my Vietnamese. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say my Vietnamese is cũng được. It means like okay, like possibly okay. Cũng được.
Okay, perfect.
I think that cũng được.
Hey, that's pretty good. Hey, yeah. That's perfect. There you go. You talking shit? No. Okay. All right. Okay. What's the first phrase we're gonna do here?
So let's do some slang. And so a very, you know, I talked about dating. That's how kind of I've really learned or like kept up with improved my Vietnamese. I would say taking it to the next level. So. A very popular phrase, I think, like, amongst kids and like teenagers is it's kind of like, you know, that the talking phase and you're like trying to like attract each other.
Yeah.
They call that tatten. So tat is kind of like it's kind of like a fishing term because like tatten is like spreading bait. That's what it is. Like tat is like releasing, and then tin is like this tiny fish is like releasing bait. And so they're like, oh, you guys are talking? Oh, tatten, huh? Like, it's like, you're like trying to talk to her, right? You're trying to release your bait onto her and stuff. It's funny. Like, this is, you can see like the metaphor, the analogy. That's
such a Vietnamese thing. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you know, we're such a fishing culture. Just everything is like, hey man, you know, you try, instead of like saying like you're trying to holler, no, you're trying to spread that fish, dog.
You're trying to spread that bait. You're trying to lure. It's kind of like luring stuff.
That's luring, right. Okay, so how does it go?
Tatin.
Tatin.
Yeah, tatin.
Tatin, and then
yeah, it's Tatinh. Yeah.
Right. What is the little like thing?
I think there's a yao hai, so it's like a question,
that
like
ta. Actual,
yeah,
ta,
yeah,
ta.
Ta.
And then, ta ting.
Tin is,
and then what's the thing?
Is it's it a up? I. It's a suck, so it goes up like tin. Up. Yeah.
Ta ting.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe not too sharp on the second one, but pretty good.
Ta ting.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Hey, sup, shouty? Sup, shouty?
I'm trying to ta ting.
I'm trying to ta think this girl, you know? Oh my gosh. As soon as you start speaking Vietnamese a little bit, you get an accent. You know, just, I'm trying to ta think this girl, huh? You know, like, oh my God.
That's oh, so
I'm, okay. I'm horny now. Okay, what's another
exactly.
one? That's a good one.
Okay, so this one, actually the last girl that I was talking to.
This is hilarious,
yeah,
by the way.
That she was, because obviously like my Vietnamese, she knew it was bad. Like I was trying to work on it. She would call me Cui Bap. So, okay. So bap means corn, and goi is corn cob, and so what that means is you're useless because you're a corn cob, because like there's no more kernels or anything on it. Nobody has any use for the corn cob, and so she would be like, "Oh, you just misspelled this. Like you can't do anything. Like this, you missed the accent. You're a goi bap. It's just like you're useless as a corn cob."
Oh my God. Well, that's a roast. That's a Vietnamese roast.
That's a Vietnamese
roast. It's like, you know, it's not even you ain't shit. It's you are a corn cob. Damn. Roasted. You know, you.
Corn cob.
You, okay. How does that one go?
Roasted corn cob or?
No. I'm sorry. How do you say it? How do you.
Cui bap.
Okay. How do you spell that?
It's cool. I think it's C-U-I. I don't know that. So what's a good thing is amongst the kids and like the younger generation, like informally, you can text in Vietnamese and don't have to use.
And then you have to have these accents.
Yeah. So they can learn that. So I usually do that, but I do try to use that when I'm texting my parents. So I do try
right,
to
so
use
they
that
understand.
Accent. Right. But goi, I think it's goi. There's like a hook, a hook
okay,
on the U.
Yep, yeah. Yeah.
And
yep.
then bap is B-A. And then there's a sack. I think it's a hat. So it's the A
yeah.
like this,
yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah,
then
yeah,
a,
yeah.
and then a P. I might be wrong, but
okay.
I think that's what it
any,
is.
Any shorties listening right now?
Yeah, any Vietnamese people, we're going to get tons
please,
of angry. It's
please
like,
send us translations and tell us what a cui bap we are, because we are so useless. We are just a piece of...
We're going to get worst Vietnamese takeover ever.
Worst Vietnamese takeover. These guys are a bunch of cui bap, and it's just so bad. Okay, cool. Let's do one more. Let's do one more.
Okay, one more is... Okay, this is a fun one. It's, you know, when you're really feeling yourself or, like, you want to... You know, you're really happy or you want... You, like, you buy some new shoes. You know, you get that new Supreme drop, Mike.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so you're very happy with yourself. And then you're the enabler of that happiness. So it's kind of like a treat yourself type of thing. It's kind of like...
I see.
Yeah, it's called tự sung. So tự means yourself. And then sung is kind of like... It's a very common sentence. Like, it's like, oh, you're so spoiled or you're so...
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so like when you go out or you get stuff, like your parents will be like, oh, you're going out to eat again. Oh, sung wa ha. Like, that
means
like,
yeah.
oh,
my,
you're
my
so...
Parents,
yeah.
My parents would always say that to me whenever like I was getting... Like, I don't know, I don't know if they did this for your parents too, but like, whenever I felt, I looked really cozy, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying? Like if I was like, I don't know, getting into a hot tub, it's like, oh,
right.
Sung quoi. Like, oh shit, look at that.
Yeah. Or like you're watching TV and then your mom brings you food and stuff.
Yes,
and
yes,
your dad
exactly.
Your dad walks by, he's like, oh, sung quoi. Yeah. So much is like
you're
yeah,
so
very,
like satisfied
you're
very,
content
yeah. content you're, yes
people things are going your way
yeah
like, it's happy so that's like soon it's kind of you
soon.
Like
yeah.
you doing you're living your life you're doing
oh, shit.
But that source of it is your own so that's kind of it's a fun thing to say
yeah treating yourself Was there, when you went there, was there Supreme there? Or is there like, yes. I guess there was like fake Supreme.
There is definitely Supreme. There's definitely a hype culture between
there
not
was.
As, yeah, not as much as, you know, international Chinese, but the rich kids, they love Yeezys. They love.
Yes, yes, yes.
They love Balenciaga. It's very similar fashion. The streetwear is really big there, like designers and stuff. So like very high end fashion wear, Gucci, they love all that. So.
It's so crazy because you go to Vietnam and I went there around 2016.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had been and the first time my mom had been since she had left the country in 1975.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She loved it and it was so awesome. I really, really loved Vietnam. And yeah. Even though I felt like kind of not a Vietnamese person, I also felt like a Vietnamese person when I was there. I was like, this is like totally, I'm totally connecting all the vibes and everything in Vietnam. It's funny because like if you go to like Southern California and then you go to like Little Saigon,
yeah,
they Vietnamese people really just replicated the Vietnamese feel in
yes.
California, like yes. the malls, the like fucking selling fruit on the sidewalk outside of Elise sandwiches. It's just like it's like the exact same vibe in California as it is in Vietnam. So it's like it's kind of funny, but it was so crazy because, you know, my mom would talk to this like, you know, fruit peddler and. She would be talking and they're like, oh, how much do you make a day? And the food peddler would be like, I make, you know, and my mom would translate and kind of convert the currency. She'd make like $1 a day or something like that. Yeah. So there'd be like a food peddler making that much. But then also a kid wearing Rick Owens.
Yeah.
Right next to her, whose shoes are like $800.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this crazy disparity. And yes. It was so funny to me that Vietnamese people, hey, man, we're treating ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we're just like, oh shit, we're just treating ourselves to these Yeezys, you know?
Yes.
Oh man, I've had so much turkey and stuffing and everything this Christmas, man. Oh, I'm so full.
Don't lie to me. You don't live with a white family.
You're right. I had a whole bunch of kimchi and egg rolls instead.
But doesn't matter because this holiday season, may your home be filled with joy, regardless of what ethnicity you may be. And may your butthole be as clean as fresh-driven snow, thanks to Hello Tushy.
That's right. Don't get stuck with a post-turkey day or egg roll day disaster. Protect your pipes with a Hello Tushy bidet.
For years, bidets have cost thousands of dollars and available only to the richest of a-holes.
The Hello Tushy modern bidet attachment is here to democratize the blessings bestowed by bidets and offer clean buttholes to everyone.
Hello Tushy attaches to your existing toilet, no electricity or additional plumbing needed, and cleans your butt with a precise stream of fresh water, all for just $79.
And your Hello Tushy will cut toilet paper use by 80%, so it pays for itself simply by how much TP it saves you.
Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. Hello Tushy is your new hands-free butt buddy.
Every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free happy butt guarantee and a 12-month warranty.
Stop wiping your butt and start washing and join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now. Plus, Hello Tushy is the perfect gift for the holidays.
Ah, get 10% off plus free shipping right now at hellotushy.com/ANA.
That's hellotushy.com/ANA for 10% off and free shipping.
HelloTushy.com/ANA. Okay, and now we're back with our guest, Entriet Tran, comedian, international horny guy. And we're going to do our next segment, which is mismanagement consulting. This is a new segment we've been doing for the last couple of weeks in which people can send in questions they have, and we do some very bad mismanagement consulting on them. If you want to be on this segment, you can text or leave a voicemail at 917-755-9596. Just text or leave a voicemail. Nobody's going to pick up. It's not like we have like a
hotline
operator there who is just always just going to be listening. Just leave a voicemail. We love getting them. Or you can email us at asiannotasianpod@gmail.com. Either one of those would be great. But today we're going to have a little mismanagement consulting with our guest, Entriet. And you have a question for... the pod here, and I'm willing, you're a client, we've signed the scope of work. Let's do it.
Yeah, so, you know, in the past, the previous segment, you guys probably think I'm just some, you know, international playboy, but I actually am in a relationship. Yeah, so it's getting pretty serious. It's at that point where it's starting to get serious. You know, it's just a couple months in. I think we started just before the quarantine. And now it's
Can I say she's a comedian too?
She's a comedian too.
We all know who she is. I don't want to like get this all up on there, but she's a comedian too. And when I when I found out, I was sick to my stomach. Sick to my stomach.
Because she wasn't Vietnamese.
Because she's way better than you, bro. You know, come on now.
I'm doing it for the clout.
You really are. Okay. So she's
actually Southeast Asian too. Not Vietnamese, Southeast Asian too.
Yep.
So we kept it within the fish sauce family. You know, fish sauce Asian. So it's just Mike, I know you talk about your wife, yourself. You've been happily married for a long time.
Yeah, a little while. Yep.
Yeah. So what would you say are the keys to... And don't give me like the corny, like what, like you go to a wedding, it's like, what's the key to happiness? And you're like, oh, listen to each other. You know, I want the real nitty gritty stuff, the stuff that you're not going to hear. You know, I want the down and dirty.
What's
the secrets?
I'm gonna give you. Okay. So there's probably a couple of things, of it. And I'll start it off with, you know, you have to accept, and I'll use a lesson you just taught me. You have to accept that you're a queep up, okay? You are, as a man, you are a queep up. You are completely useless in the relationship, okay? And I always think about this. I thought about this as a joke for a while. You know, insects?
Yep.
There's a lot of insects that when they mate, the female eats the male. And you know, praying mantises do this, some spiders do this, I think wasps do this. Or what happens too is the male is usually much smaller than the female, and they're a drone, so they like they go and they mate with the female and then they die right away. Okay, and honestly, being eaten or dying right away is way more useful than anything human males do. Because we don't do anything. You just look at everything. Like, you look at birth control, you know?
Yeah.
Like, women are even responsible for not getting pregnant.
Yes.
You know, like, men are not responsible even for that part. We're not responsible. It's like men are always, like, talking about, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to get locked down. I don't want to be, you know. I want to be free, but we're constantly knocking up women. We're just like, that's like, we're so stupid that we can't even do it. And so, that's like, to get a little bit more serious, a big thing is just realizing how wrong you are about so many things. I know that makes it sound like men are shitty, blah, 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 but a lot of it, and to a lot of extent, it goes the other way too, but like, a lot of it is realizing that your ideas are usually self-oriented, too selfish, not like oriented around like the group or like seeing from someone else's perspective. I'll just give you like a small crappy example is, decorating the apartment, you know, like men's decorating the apartment is, I'm going to put a Scarface poster up, right? This is banging. Fuck yeah. And that is the stupidest like the design idea, and it's like not like home building, it's not like a conducive home building thing, and that's like your idea, and you're like, this is the best idea I've ever had, stupid idea, queep up, you're super stupid. So that you just have to kind of like internalize that, because then that starts informing a lot of your other shit, because then it starts informing things like, Am I saving money? Probably not. Am I saving money correctly? Probably not. Am I spending money correctly? Probably not. You know, like, and the reason why I want to keep pushing that is because it's like, even if you really understand it, like, as a guy, we're still so like selfish and self-oriented that like, before we were 100% selfish, and if you get to just 99% selfish, you're going to have a successful relationship right there. You know, if you just internalize what that is. I'm probably going to get a whole bunch of dudes who are just like, oh, no way. I think about my relationship all the time. And I think dudes like we're really good at like, you know, this is why we were hunters and gatherers. We're like, give us a specific task. you know?
Yeah.
I think then guys are really good at that. So it's like, hey, go hunt that mammoth. Yeah. Boom. Got it. Killed the mammoth. Brought it back. Done. Because as soon as the mammoth is done, then you have to give us another task. Otherwise, we're just going to like start like sitting around and telling stories like around the campfire. You know, you have to give a specific task and then that's good. That's like sort of how men think. We're just like, okay, check the thing. We did it. Now I'm just useless. That's why like it's better if you're an insect and you just died. Because then at least then you're out of the picture.
Yeah, yeah, it's less of a burden. That's
exactly
funny.
You know, just mate with the female, yeah, and die, because yeah, your body will become sustenance for, you know,
yes,
I don't know,
your nutrition. That's your only worth.
Your body is worth much more than anything else you contribute. That's probably like the overarching
thing.
That's that's like a little thing, and you're just gonna have to ruminate on that, I think, for a while. How long is your longest relationship?
Longest relationship was probably in high school, college, about 2 years. But this is, now that you're older, right? And you hang out more, it feels longer. Like, even though it's been shorter, for me at least, it feels like you're in more, a lot deeper. And real quick, before we move on more, when you said the Scarface poster thing, that hit home because I literally was like, this week I saw an Akira poster for $80. I'm like, dude, I want that poster.
Yes.
That looks sick. And Akira basically is like the Asian Scarface, like for dudes like us. Like we love that movie.
Yeah, Asian Scarface. Yeah, is it the poster of the dude walking up to the motorcycle?
Yeah. It's like kind of.
That's
kind
a fire of poster,
yes,
bro.
You know,
trust
exactly
me.
The one with the helmet on. He's all the
Yeah, dude, that one's a fire poster. Okay, for me, it was that one and Boondock Saints. Oh, fucking love. Yeah. Boondock Saints was the one. You know, and there's ways to kind of like come to a meeting with that, because you can have that.
Yeah.
Just don't like, you know, like the college way of just like tacking it up on the wall, just like straight up, just like no frame. It's all torn and fucked up. Just like one corner is tape. Just come on. You know, like you got to like think about it in a way so that you can kind of like build a home. And that's really like a big thing of the relationship, is that in a relationship, you're no longer really, it's about me or it's about her or them or whatever. It's really about this mutual thing that you're trying to do together. It's really kind of like almost like starting a fire. Like you shouldn't think of it as like, this is my fire, and you shouldn't think of it as this is their fire or her fire or his fire. You should think of it as like, we're building a fire,
yes,
and we have to do that together. And that's like a separate thing, separate from you. And you have to kind of work on that. That's like kind of like the mind shift, the paradigm shift. Okay, I'm going to use a little mismanagement consulting paradigm shift that you need to do in order to like get to a better place. So it's tricky, but I feel like you started the relationship in the quarantine, right? So that's that's got to be weird, right?
It is a little, but I think it's because I feel I've always been a proponent of, if you know, right, if you feel it and
you
really trust
it,
you know. Yeah, so that's why I feel a lot in New York, you know, I've always been in very short term, you know, like I think the longest relationship before I was in this in New York was maybe 6 months.
Right.
And so it's just, it always comes to a point where I know it's either we're going to get serious or are we just going to, you know, be whatever. And then this one from, you know, very early on, I was like, I want it to be super serious. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's just, I feel like that's the key to a successful relationship, I think, is just a ton of shitty Hinge dates. And then like, yeah,
yes.
And then
I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, when something is like, you know, when you're like, oh, this is okay. But if you like find someone, you're like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And you should like try to go all in on it. I feel that. I do have a question for you, sort of a follow-up, you know. This is a good thing, you know, if you're a consultant, you know, you got to think about next steps,
okay?
You always got to do next steps, right? You got your advisory note that you do, or your presentation, and then the last couple slides is like next steps, so that you can kind of continue the relationship with the client. You know, I want to have a follow-up question with you is, you know, you're both comics.
Yeah.
Are you at all concerned about like, because like comedy is like so all-encompassing, you got to like be out all the time,
yeah,
you gotta be doing this and that show. You know, it's easy to get jealous of, in a regular relationship between two people who have careers.
Yeah.
Do you ever get concerned like, oh, what if one of us kind of pops off and the other one doesn't? Do you know, or someone is getting booked on more shows than I am or whatever, you know, like, do you ever have concerns about that?
Oh, I'm just going to cheat immediately. When she gets late night, cheat. cheating. No. Just, all seriousness, it's just, yeah, I think it's, I'm very happy and supportive for me too. Like, even, cause I feel like even people that you're like close with and you think, you might think that you're on the same level with, you know, right, further from that, is when you see them have an opportunity and stuff. Like one of my friends, she just got a job at Netflix for writing. And then cool. For me, it was very much, I'm very happy for that. And I'm supportive of that, because before, like a younger comic me definitely would have been, you know, somebody had got a booked on a great show, you know, they got past their club. I'd be like, dude, I'm way funnier than them. I'm working way harder. But I feel like that type of mentality, especially something in as hard as comedy, where you're just always getting beaten up and then getting no's, rejections a lot, you can't add any more additional negativity.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was talking about earlier. It's just, I really focus on the positives, like what makes me happy, like seeing my other friend, that makes me really, really happy. Right. And like, when you told me that you and Fumi, you sold that show to Comedy Central, right. That was like super happy. I was so excited and stuff. And it's, I haven't really had that like jealousy thing, because immediately, like early on, I've realized it's not healthy at all. It's not good, and it doesn't lessen anything from you. You know, people,
right?
You know, in some sense of things, maybe because it's like a small scene. But now I feel like there's, you know, there's so many different. You can pop up on YouTube. You know, you can pop up on TikTok. Right. There's so many other. Yeah, it's there's not many. I can feel like in the past, before, there was more gatekeepers, and there may be like only a certain number of spots. But now there's so many opportunities.
There's much more spots. Yeah,
yeah, like the potential for you. It's just, I think it's that's not really the thing that's blocking you. It's just that's not the gating item, right? That's there's right. more. So no, not at all.
Dang!
I say that now.
Yeah, you say it now. And then as soon as she starts popping off, man, you know you're gonna be out there in the DMs, like like chatting people on Duolingo, bro. You know, like, all right. Well, remember you're still a queep up. So
queep up, yeah.
That was our mismanagement consulting. If you want to get up on mismanagement consulting, please text or leave a voicemail at 917-755-9596 or email us at asiannotasianpod@gmail.com. Okay, and we're back with our guest, Antrit Tran. We're going to do our usual segment, Das Race News, which is our race news segment. However, we're going to do a special investigative reporting edition.
Yes.
Okay, because what we had here was we had Antrit. He went undercover on social media to dig around and figure out. This is kind of like, you know, when, you know, Channel 4 Eyewitness News goes undercover to figure out a scam that's happening at your local, like, auto repair shop. This is what Antrit did. He went undercover into some Vietnamese Trump supporter groups on Facebook.
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Vietnamese love Facebook.
Vietnamese people. we really do. We love Facebook, huh?
Yeah.
That's so funny. We're not on TikTok. We're very behind the times, let's just say that. And he infiltrated some Vietnamese Trump supporter groups. What did you find out, man? Well, first of all, hold on here. Did your parents or relatives vote for Trump? Do you know?
So I think in the first election, my parents voted for Trump. I'm not sure, but the way that they talked about it and the attitudes they had toward Hillary Clinton made me strongly believe that. But this year, my mom refused to vote because she said she hated both candidates. And then my dad voted for Biden.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He flipped. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I feel with my relatives, I haven't asked them because I feel I would get like upset. I know they're definitely conservative.
Yeah.
My mom used to have like this picture of George Bush.
Yeah.
The second one up on the wall and shit like that. And like, I mean, shit, George Bush is like a saint compared to Trump. Well, I don't know. He's still a war criminal, but you know, like he was like a tolerable war criminal.
Yeah.
But my parents are definitely conservative. I don't know if they voted for Trump, but they're definitely, my family is definitely more conservative. But what did you find out in your thing?
Do you know what? Actually, it started to, I hate this, but because the more and more investigating, it made, I'm not saying it's right, but I could see why Vietnamese people voted for Trump.
Because
And so you kind of get in too deep and you're like, okay, I can see. And I start to understand. And then so I'm not saying I turned sides or anything.
You got it too deep. Okay, go ahead.
There's a lot of Vietnamese people, when they first came over, they didn't really have any skills, right? So a lot of them are small business owners.
Then
so in their mind, you know, Republicans align with all small business stuff. There's a lot of Vietnamese jewelry stores. There's a lot of Vietnamese people own nail salons. People own tons. Grocery stores. Yeah, there's a lot Love of small Vietnamese businesses. Small yep. businesses. Yeah, right. Because they just took what they learned and then came over here.
Selling fruit. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of Vietnamese people are farmers and fishermen I found out here.
Yo,
yeah.
Yes.
So they work in some source of food production in terms of agriculture or fishing. And then so historically, the conservative Republican candidate just has always been, you know, pro small businesses, pro business. And so they see that. And then so that's kind of my serious answer, and let's go on let's talk about what I actually think. Because first things first, I could tell, I know you, this is true for you, this is true for me in some extent, but Vietnamese people love gold, okay? People love gold.
We're like fucking leprechauns, dude. Yes. Okay, we're just like, gotta take my away from my lucky charms. My mom used to have gold bullion, yes. Little ingots of gold,
right,
that she would keep in a safe deposit box,
yeah,
along with a magnum, because she was just like, she's like, yo, if shit gets crazy, we're gonna get this gold, we're gonna jump on this boat that I have hooked up in Huntington Beach, and we're gonna fucking sail to the Philippines, you know, like, so yeah, we love gold. I have some gold. It's crazy because gold is so expensive right now. If you track the gold thing, it used to be really cheap in the 90s and early 2000s, and then over time it's gotten more expensive. So yeah, I mean, yes, we love gold. Continue.
So we love gold. And have you seen the interior of any Trump hotel? Just wall to wall gold.
Oh fuck.
That's because he's that flashy lifestyle. Yes. And stuff. See, even guys, your wedding band is gold, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's very popular now for dudes to get white gold or the silver. Yes. Every single Vietnamese dude I know who's gotten married are around our age, gold, always gold. They're like, no, I'm not going to mess around with this white gold. No, classic. Yeah. We love gold.
Yellow gold. Yeah. You know how right now I feel it's a thing for dudes to get you know, those wedding bands that are rubber, you know?
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
It's tactical, you know? No. So I got this rubber. No, fuck that. Okay.
No, gold.
I want this shit to be, gold as fuck, dude.
Yes. So that's why, because Trump has that flashy, I feel like Vietnamese people are very aspirational too, because that they'll vote because, oh, I want to be rich. Like a lot of Vietnamese people love gold, love money. And another thing Trump is known for, land. Vietnamese people love land and real estate.
Yo, where else are our ox going to be at? You know what I'm saying? We need to have, we need that land.
Right. My parents, they're always talking about investing land. They always want to buy, rent apartment. Exactly.
Yo.
Your parents probably, you know, have talked about investing land back in Vietnam, in the back home. Probably has been some family arguments about a piece of land or how to sell it or when to divest. Vietnamese people love land and real estate. And I think because Trump, he's the king.
He's all
of
about
real
land.
Exactly.
Yes, he's all about, okay. Mm-hmm. Damn, this is so good.
Yeah. So this is just slowly. Yeah. I read, you've probably read every single, all the major articles, because there's been a bunch that came out before the election, why Vietnamese people are the most, the Asian population that's most likely to vote for him. And they always come up the conservative angle, the communist angle. I think it really comes down to the aspirational wealth.
Yeah.
It's that's it, because they love land, the gold. It all made sense to me once I was after the 100th post I've read.
Yeah. 100th post. I love that. I feel that, yes, Democrats, we definitely need to get up on the gold thing. Okay. We need to somehow get Biden some gold. Just a little bit of gold. You know, we need to get him a little bit of gold, and we need to show him fucking fishing or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't know, you know, because you're right. Trump is always golfing.
Yes.
And I've read this before where, I think he's golfing a lot because he's a dickhead and he likes golfing. But he's also, he knows that to people, in people's minds, golfing is high end. It's classy. Mm. you know, you're like, it takes a lot of land to golf. You got to have a lot of land. He's always golfing at one of his spots.
Right.
To just say like, hey, look at all this land. I'm golfing on my own land, which is like so Vietnamese. Vietnamese people, we would love to have our own golf thing. We would never be able to maintain it because just like, we're just not going to be like that. But we would love to have someone like that. And I feel Trump, excuse me, Biden, we got to get him like
doing fancy stuff.
Yeah, we need to get him like a solid gold
yacht.
Yes, yacht. Like a necklace that has like a medallion that has like a phoenix on it.
You know, yes.
Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to get that, or like at least a piece of like a big old fat Buddha jade, you know, on there. This is what's up, and we need to get him golfing or something.
We need
shit,
him like a massive. We need him to get those jade bands too. And we need to get. We need like Kamala Harris. Those, you know, those jade bands that the aunt wears.
That your grandma's always wearing and shit.
Solid jade bands. Yeah.
Solid jade band. You can't take it off ever. You know?
I don't know how they get it off.
You can't take it off.
I have
the
no
only
idea.
Time you can take it off is when that person becomes a skeleton, and then you can take it off. That's the only time, my friend. Dude, so true, bro. Oh, man. Okay, so this has been Das Race Dudes Investigative Reporting Edition. I hope some Democrats are listening because this is gold, solid gold right here. Okay, I think that is it. Thank you so much to our guest, Antriet Tran, for coming in here and taking over, turning Asian not Asian to Viet not Viet. For at least one episode, we'll have you back, man. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thanks. This was so much fun. It's good hanging out.
Absolutely, man. Where can our fans find you? What's going on with you? I know you do a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah,
the hustle. I like that.
Yes. So right now, I'm really making a push into online content because it's winter time. So I've got a YouTube channel set up. I've got a lot of stand-up clips. I'm gonna start releasing a lot of other stuff. So hopefully by the time this comes out, I'll have more than two videos on my channel. But yeah, it's just I don't have any name. But if you just search my name, it's Andre Tran. Maybe we can include a link somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put a link on there. Are you on what's your social?
Yeah, so Twitter, it is just Antri Tran, so A-N-H-T-R-I-E-T Tran, T-R-A-N, and then Instagram, my handle is Treat Yourself, so it's T-R-I-E-T Y-O-U-R-S-E-L-F.
That's cool. You can check us out on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod. You can find us on our website, asiannotasianpod.com. Check out our merch. You know, get something nice for yourself. We've got all sorts of fun stuff. Check us out on Patreon and do all your Patreon shit. It's patreon.com/asiannotasianpod. We're trying to get a studio. We're trying to grow because we need money too. Hey, I need some gold. All right. I need gold. That's such expensive. I need gold. And
land.
You can find land. We need land. Oh God, I love land. I'm gonna make that a t-shirt. Okay. I need land. Okay. So check me out on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro. You can find my co-host he's gonna do his own episode also during his business trip. You can find him at The Fumi Abi. That's T-H-E-F-U-M-I-A-B-E. And I think that's going to be it. Check out our Zoom. We have a Zoom stand-up show every other Friday. Our next one is going to be December 18th, which will be the last one for 2020. Not sure if we're going to do one because then the one after that is January 1st. That's New Year. So I'm not sure if we're going to have one there, but we'll see how it goes. I think those are the big things. Remember, everybody, the main takeaway from this episode, you're a queep-up, okay? You ain't shit. Kernel. You are a corn cob.
Kernelless corn cob. Useless. Queep-up.
You are useless until you have land. Okay, so get some land. Otherwise, you're going to be a queep-up, okay? So thank you very much, Antriet.
No, thank you, Mike. All right.
Yeah, man. Bye.